Here in week three, last week, we went through radiant faith, and we said it was very important to notice that when we went back and we looked at the church in Thessalonica, that church did such a good job at modeling Paul's Christ-like behavior and did such a good job at basically following Jesus that the missionaries didn't even need to come. And so we said that radiant faith is when our actions demonstrate the power of Christ. That's when people on the outside look at our life and they say, wow, why is he so happy? Why is he so full of peace in the times when he shouldn't have any? And they have to ask themselves, they say, the only natural conclusion is one, you've lost your mind, or number two, what they say about Jesus is true. That he really does give you a reason to do things that were impossible before. He really does give you the ability to do that. And by that radiant faith that just shines around everyone around us, we're encouraging people to follow Christ. And so we said, walk and act in a way that others can see is possible only because of Christ. And we said this, and we looked at the church in Thessalonica, and the time that they decided that they were going to be full of peace and they were going to follow Jesus and they were not going to give up was the time when they were facing the most scrutiny, they were facing the most trials, the most trouble in their life. And so we looked at that and we said there's certain times when our actions speak louder than at other times. When you're going through a lot of trouble in your life, and you can actually keep your testimony and hold on to it, and you can actually keep your faith in Christ, and you can actually have peace in the midst of tribulation, that says something loud and clear to the people around you. They say, the only way that's possible is if what they say about Jesus is true. And so our faith speaks the loudest in difficult situations. And so we went through that and we said, what we do does affect and encourage or discourage others to have a relationship with Christ. We think that what we do only affects us and our relationship with Christ. It actually affects others as well. So this morning, let's talk about how we fit into the church, what the mission of the church is, and let's look at the church in Ephesus here. Let me just tell you a little bit about this letter. It was written by Paul as he was on house arrest in Rome. Now, some we know have been on house arrest. Maybe some here have been on house arrest. I don't know. Paul was on house arrest for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in a place where they didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. And so he was thrown in prison several times, and now he's on house arrest. And it was written to the Ephesian Christians, the Christians in Ephesus, or at least a group of people that included them. Some people actually think the letter was a circular letter where it was sent on a circle of people around Asia Minor, which today is modern-day Turkey. But the church of Ephesus was clearly one of the churches, at least. And Paul spent 3 years in this place. We learn that from the book of Acts. He spent 3 years in Ephesus. In Acts 19 and 20, we see that, and he established many churches. And there was no specific crisis in view. When you go through and you read the book in Ephesians, there's not like Paul's telling them, hey, you got this problem, you need to get rid of it. It's not like when we were going through Galatians where the people had believed that they could go to heaven by what Jesus did for them and what they could do for him. It wasn't that. And so it wasn't a clear problem where Paul said, you got to get this out of your church or it's gonna destroy your whole church. It wasn't that way. Any problems he talked about in the book of Ephesians was a problem that all the Christians deal with. Like, for instance, he talks about spiritual warfare and how in this life we deal with a lot of spiritual issues and that you need to take on the whole armor of God. And so we go through that, but it's a general problem that all Christians deal with if he talks about any problems at all. And so there's three topics and three real topics in this book. One is the unity of the church. Number two is really how Christians should live. And number three is spiritual warfare. If you want to read through this book, and you did already, you would have noticed that the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians were more about what Christians should believe. And the last three chapters of this book were more about what Christians should do. So let's go on into this now. Now, why? Here's the thing that God laid on my heart this morning as we were going through this series. Paul stresses a lot in this book about the church needing to be united, about unity in the church. And we're going to see that this morning. Spiritual unity in the church is working together to fulfill the mission that God has given to his church. It's working together to fulfill the mission that God has given to His church. That's what unity is. We've got to work together. It's not always easy, but that's the job that we're told we need to do if we want to fulfill this mission. And you say, what mission, Jeff? Well, we've been there before, and we've taken a look at the scriptures and what Jesus said about the church. And the mission of the church is this, is to lead others into a relationship with Jesus and to serve one another in a way that they can do that better. Our job as a whole, not any one of us, our job as a whole and all the rest of the churches in the local area and in the communities and through the country is to lead people into a relationship with Jesus. Just lead them there. We can bring them right up to the foot of the cross, and then it's up to them whether they're going to follow Him or not. We can't force anybody, but we can do things that influence people to point them to Jesus and say, look, here's a reasons. Here are all the reasons why you should follow Him and you shouldn't wait any longer. Here's what all He can do for you and what you can do for Him. And we have that job of doing that. So that's our mission. But then once we actually lead someone to Jesus themselves, we as a church have a responsibility of helping one another to do that job better. And that's what we talk about, that it's the body of Christ and how we're many different members. And so we're going to get into that today. Let's turn actually to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25. And let me just read this verse as we start today. It says, Paul was writing, there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There should be no division in the body of Christ. What is the body? The Bible says that's God's church. That's the church of Christ. And he said there should be no separation. It seems like many a times the churches are divided and they split over little issues. And we can't seem to get past our differences in order to work together and actually accomplish anything for God. But we've got this mission of leading people into a relationship with Jesus and serving one another in a way that helps each other do that. And so Paul says there shouldn't be division in the body, because where there's division, there's no progress. And so when we read this, this is the opposite of slandering one another. It's the opposite of gossip. It's the opposite of pride, resentment. It's the opposite of hate and selfishness. It's the opposite of repaying evil with evil, even. It's the opposite of attempting to outshine one another. That's really pride. It's the opposite of these things. And these are things that I just like to consider spiritual laziness. That's what I like to call it. And so God says, let's work together. The church isn't separated. When we go through the scriptures, we see the church is not separated. It should not be separated. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. As long as we can agree on the essentials, as long as we can agree on the essentials of the Christian faith, sure, we may have different interpretations of the scriptures here and there. There may be little differences here and there, but if we can agree on the essentials, then we're commanded to work together. We're commanded to work together. In some way, somehow, we've got to work together and put aside our differences. Yeah, I believe there's a right way to interpret the scripture and there's a wrong way to interpret the scripture. But if we can get past the essentials of the faith, if we can get past those, and if you're curious what those are, well, we can talk about that maybe later sometime. But if we can get past those and we can agree on that, these other things that are minor things, we've got to lay them aside and say, okay, you believe that, I believe this, but we can still work together for Christ. We can still work together on this mission of leading others into a relationship with Jesus and serving one another in a way that they can better do that. So let's talk about the body. Let's talk about the body this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 16. Let's read a little bit in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 16, Paul was writing and he said, and that he might reconcile, he, Jesus, might reconcile, that means make the relationship, restore the relationship, both unto God in one body by the cross. So we've become a part of the body of Christ because of the cross of Jesus. Then let's turn to chapter 3, verse number 6. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body by the gospel. So we're all part of the body because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. Then let's turn to chapter 4. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says, you've been called into this journey to work for Christ. Well, go ahead and walk worthy of it. None of us were worthy to become what God has made us, but let's at least act like we are now. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the key this morning. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He says, so we all need to work on being united. We're all part of the body of Christ, and Paul explains the importance of unity by describing us as a body. And so you think about a body a little bit, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he wrote that down. It's a long chapter. We won't read it this morning. But when you go over there and you look and read that chapter, he describes and explains that every believer is a member of the body of Christ. The body is the church, it tells us in the scripture. And the church belongs to Christ, and he is the head. That means he gets to decide how each member of the body should work and when exactly that they should work. And so we all have a specific purpose in fulfilling this overall mission of the body. We're all working together in different ways. And the mission is what? To lead others into a relationship with Jesus and serve one another in a way that they can do this better. So let's talk about it this morning. Let's think about the body. Why did he explain it as a body? Well, he talks about it as being kind of like the physical body. You think about this body, and we've got a lot of different parts in this body that all work together, right? And I'm going to try to explain something this morning that is beyond my abilities, but I'm going to try to explain it to you in a way, because I think there's something great we can learn from this. The purpose of the heart is very simple, right? The purpose of the heart is to do what? Pump blood throughout the rest of the body. But the process needed to achieve it is very complex, right? It's very complex and it's difficult to achieve. The heart requires many different parts all working together in perfect unison in order to achieve that. I mean, I'm no doctor, but I'm going to try to explain this because I think there's something great we can learn from this morning. During a normal heartbeat, there's two upper chambers of the heart and there's two lower chambers of the heart. And during a normal heartbeat, the two chambers are coordinated with perfect timing in order to achieve the mission. Perfect timing. The upper part contracts in order to pump blood into the lower part. And the lower part patiently waits. It patiently waits. It does nothing until the exact time when it will be the most effective. It doesn't work during that time in an attempt to help out the upper part. Because any attempt to do so actually makes the job of the upper part more difficult. And so it does nothing. It waits patiently until it receives the go-ahead to work and act. In fact, it's not even equipped to do the job of the upper part. And so it waits patiently. And so as the upper part finishes its job in providing blood into the lower part of the heart, it waits until all of that has been provided, only until the job of the upper part is finished and it's received all it needs in order to do its job most effectively. Then it acts. Only then does it act, and it pumps blood to the lungs and the rest of the body. Now, there's a condition called atrial fibrillation, AF, some doctors call it. I never heard of this until 10 years ago, and it seemed like everyone I knew had faced this at one time. And it's an interesting condition. It's where the upper and the lower portions of the heart no longer beat in a coordinated way. The problem isn't that each part of the heart isn't working hard, because actually they're working twice as hard. They're actually beating 2 to 3 times the normal speed. They're working even harder. But because they're not coordinated in a fashion that is needed in order to work together and get this blood to the rest of the body, they fail at their mission. It's not that they're not working hard. They're working very hard. But because each part isn't working together in unity, the heart can no longer fulfill its purpose. And that's important. Each part may work hard, but they're not achieving the mission because they're not working together. Just as the parts of the human body have to work together, and Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians 12, just like the parts of the human body need to work together in order to fulfill their purpose, the members of the body of Christ need to do that too. So it's a serious problem that occurs, and God's mission can't be fulfilled, or it is hardly fulfilled at best. We may just do a little bit for God, but we can't really accomplish anything great if we don't work together. They say actually that two people working independently don't amount to what can come out of those two people working together. It's just a fact of business even. And working together isn't always easy, but it produces the greater outcome. And so Paul commands us, God commands us, he says, my people, my members of my body need to work together some way, somehow. And so we can learn from that this morning. Now there's another part, there's another problem in the body that can happen when one part attempts to do the work of another part. That's kind of what you'd call out of order. The last thing we talked about is being misaligned or just wasted energy, because we're all working very hard, but we're not working together. So you pull that way, and then I pull that way, and you pull that way, and then I pull that way. And at the end of the day, we're exhausted. We're exhausted. We feel like, hey, I really accomplished something today. But, you know, we both feel like we accomplished something, but the body overall didn't go anywhere. It's like going on a merry-go-round, just going around and around. You feel like you've been a lot of places. You get off, you say, I'm back right where I started. And that's the way it is when the body of Christ doesn't work together. But this is when it's out of order. Sometimes we feel like we need to do a work that we're not called to do. And we justify it because we think, well, we're doing it for God. So as much as I can do for God, that's what God wants me to do. God's proud of me. I mean, if I do the job of 10,000 people in my church, then I'll get blessed beyond measure for it. No, you're going to get discouraged is what you're going to get. And so don't do a work that we're not called to do. You're not equipped to do it. Don't think I'm being insensitive here, but the thing is you'll be discouraged because you're not good at it. I'm not good at some things. I'm not spiritually blessed in every area. And if I try to do the job of some of you, I will get discouraged because I'm not very good at that. God hasn't equipped me in that area. I don't have a spiritual gift in that area. And so don't waste your energy attempting to do things that you're not called to do. God has not called one person to do everything. He hadn't called two people to do everything. He says, I want my body to work together. Every member within my body, I want them all to work together in different ways in order to fulfill this mission. So save your energy. Obey the Lord. Don't waste energy trying to do things you're not called to do. And we also look at the part, and Paul talked about this. Some parts in what they do are noticeable. When I wake up in the morning, honestly, I go some days not even thinking about the fact that I have a beating heart. I don't even think about the fact that I have a beating heart. I'm very glad that I do. I'm very glad that it beats. But some days I don't even think about that. But every day of my life, I think about the fact that I have two hands and that I'm able to work with these. So Paul talked about there being some parts that are easy to notice. Some parts of the body are right on the front line and everybody sees what goes on there. But some parts are behind the scenes. They go unnoticed. And he says it's not that either one of those is not important. He said they're both very important. In fact, I've found that the ones that are behind the scene are actually more important than the ones on the front line. The parts of this human body that you don't even see and some days you don't notice are more important than some of the things you do notice. I could actually live without a hand. But I can't live without a heart. And so some of those parts that we can't see are extremely important and they can go unnoticed. We need to be grateful for each member of the body of Christ. We got to encourage one another. We got to let them know they're doing a good job. We got to let them know that don't neglect any one of them. It takes every single person, every member of the body, the church, in order to fulfill this mission. Not one person can do it. Not the person standing up here talking. Not the person that's out on the front line talking. Not the persons that are on the pew only and you don't hear from a lot. Every one of us has a purpose in fulfilling this mission. So here's the main point. We've been kind of building up to this morning. The point today, really, is that Christians are members of the body of Christ. We're all working together to fulfill the mission of the church. We're all members of the body of Christ, working together. That's the thing. Paul said you got to be united or you're not really a healthy body. When the parts stop working together, when one part tries to do the job of other parts, they're not capable, they're not equipped. whenever the unnoticed parts aren't valued as much as the ones that are noticed. When these things start to happen, we start to neglect things. We start to not take care of things. Things start to break and the body becomes unhealthy, and then we can't achieve our mission in the human body. And Paul explained it in the same way in the church. He says that if we don't work together, we'll never fulfill this mission, or we'll hardly fulfill the mission. And so we're all part of the body of Christ, and we're to work together in order to fulfill the mission. Because working together, it's not always easy, but failing to do it means that we won't fulfill the mission. We won't accomplish God's mission, and it hurts every other member in it. If you stop the heart, you hurt every other member in the body. If one person in the church doesn't do what God's called them to do, or we neglect one of the members in the church, it affects the entire body. We're an organism. We're not an organization, we're an organism. We're all working together to fulfill this. So let's talk about church membership a little bit this morning. So what is the point of church membership? You know, some churches don't even have membership. And I understand that. And can you be a Christian and not be an official member of a church? Sure, you can. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you can be saved. You shall be saved. We know that. It's by what Jesus did for us that we're saved. But there's a purpose in church membership. One, to work in the local body of Christ, to work in the local church, you need to be a member. You need to identify with the church, to identify with the local body of believers and accept the specific responsibility and the mission of that church. Every church is different. We'll talk about that in just a minute. To provide each member the ability to know who it is they are to serve. If the members don't know who they're to work together with, it makes it a little difficult. And so there's a benefit in this. And this was also the example of the local church. When all else fails, we say, well, we should do it because the Bible tells us to do it. And that's great. And a lot of times, that's good enough. We wouldn't have to go any further than that. The Bible gives an example of how there were many members that were added to the local church there on that day. They identified with that church. But there's more to it than that. And so membership is important so we can work together. That's what it's all about, so we can work together for the mission of Christ. So what does God expect of us? Let's look in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning. And it tells us here, in 1 Corinthians 12, I'll just read a couple of verses. It says, verse 5, there are differences of administrations, that means ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, activities, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. We got to be aware that there are different ministries and ways to serve. Not every church looks the same. Every church is different in the way that they fulfill this mission. Every believer is gifted in a particular area. You can have two believers gifted in the same particular area, but the way that they serve in a ministry is totally different. And we've got to get comfortable with the fact that serving God doesn't always look the same. It doesn't always look the same in every single church. Leading others to Jesus is accomplished in many different ways. And we're all called. We just read it. We'll read it again. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. There's many different ways to serve God. There's many different ways to fulfill this mission. Equipping one another to serve others is accomplished in many different ways, ministering, serving one another. And we just read it. So worship service, it may not always start at 11 a.m. The paint on the walls may not always be white. The sign on the front of the church may not always look the same, but the mission of the church will never change. But the way that we fulfill that mission can, it will, it should, because people are reached in different ways. So we've got to be comfortable with the fact that serving God doesn't always look the same. His mission can be fulfilled in different ways. God reaches people in our community and all through the world in many different ways, but he chooses to do it through the many different members of his church. So we're all working together in this body that Christ is the head of. And there's different ways to fulfill the mission as long as it doesn't conflict with the scripture, with the word of God. And so there's many different ways to do it. So there's spiritual gifts that are used to serve God and to contribute to the growth of his church. And we've talked a lot about spiritual gifts, but God, he says, gives us different gifts. He's the one who decides who gets what gift. It's a gift of grace that we don't earn it. God just gives it to us freely. We all have different gifts so that we can become a healthy body. And by those gifts, that's what you're equipped with in order to do a job in the body. And we're all supposed to work together, Paul said. And if we don't, then we can't really fulfill this mission. So we got to work together. I'm depending on you to help me out in my weaknesses. You're depending on me to help you out in the areas you're weak in. And I don't claim to be good in pastors. Sometimes people think the pastor has all the gifts. I don't, I promise you. And so it takes us all working together in order to fulfill this. So what are the gifts? I'm going to just kind of like lightning run through all these gifts this morning. But go back later and look at them. The Bible says that we have many different gifts and God distributes them to all. They are support gifts. These are gifts that God blesses with us that supports the other gifts that are task gifts. And the support gifts are faith, knowledge, wisdom, and the ability to discern right from wrong. Spirit of God, spirit of evil. It gives us that ability in order to do these things. And those gifts actually support our other gifts, and service gifts, as some call them. There's a gift of prophecy, which is speaking the message of God to his people. In other words, they see the way things are today, and they have to say the way things should be instead of the way things are. Their gift of prophecy, preaching, they proclaim the way of God. There's a gift of teaching, explaining and instructing people in the Bible. There's a gift of exhorting, motivating people, of encouraging one another to continue for the Lord, of encouraging and motivating people, giving them words of encouragement, comfort, consolation, counsel, all these things. There's a gift of pastoring or shepherding, overseeing a flock of people and meeting their needs as they need that, or finding someone to meet it for them. And then there's the gift of showing mercy, counseling people when they're going through a time of suffering, physically, mentally, emotionally, all these different things, that you're able to help them to make it through them, counsel them. There's a gift of ministering or helping, like maybe becoming a deacon. And a deacon's job really is to render support or assistance to the other leaders in the church to free them up from things so that they can be better at the things they're good at, rather than getting bogged down with the things they're not so good at. And that's the job of a helper that has that gift of ministering. There's the gift of giving, sharing material resources cheerfully to people so that they have what they're in need of and blessing them with the love of God. There's the gift of governing, leading, administration, paying attention to a lot of details and saying, this is the way things need to be tomorrow, and if we're going to hit that deadline, then we need to do it by this time. Or you're a very good steward because you're able to take God's money and you're able to make it work in the best possible way in every area. So there's the gift of administration, making sure things are in order. There's the gift of evangelizing, of planting churches. We're all called to be messengers of the gospel for Jesus Christ. But some of us just have the gift of doing that very well, right on the front line. And there's a gift of hospitality, welcoming people, strangers even, into your own home or your church and serving those that are in need. They make really good parking lot greeters in churches. And so we all have many different gifts that God distributes to his members of his body. And it's all for this, so that we can work together in order to fulfill this mission for Christ. Don't lose track of the mission. If we work hard and we achieve a lot of other things, but we fail at the mission of the body of Christ, we really didn't accomplish anything at all. Working together is not always easy. But if we don't do it, then we can't really succeed and fulfill this mission God has called us to do. Locate your ministry and find a church that will let you serve. If the church that you're in or the church you're visiting or whatever doesn't let you serve and use the gifts that you have, go find one that will. Locate your ministry, locate what that specific ministry is for you, and find a church that will allow you to serve. Because we're all part of the body of Christ, and God wants us all to work together in order to fulfill this mission.